fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Welcome back to another episode of the DFL Swimming Podcast. Admittedly, Des and I have been away for a little bit. I probably have to take ownership for that primarily. Been on vacation, a little bit of ice fishing, a little bit of Key West, Florida. You know, just doing the things that don't involve the podcast. So I apologize to all the listeners for that. But Des, how are you? What have you been doing while I've been, you know, flaunting around the country, not worrying about swimming or running the podcast?
Casey's been on vacation, and I've been dealing with growing out a beard. And we've just had a ton of ice here, which is finally clearing up. There was like a foot of ice, just solid ice on the ground for the past month, ever since the last time we recorded. So other than that, just living the life, man. Not able to go on vacations. I'm a little jealous.
Yeah, I'm living the good post-retirement life. I don't know about you. I guess it's something. Living in an icy wonderland like you're back in the Midwest.
Yep.
Should have been running some podcast episodes by yourself while I was gone. Sounds like you had the time.
I would have gotten more views.
But today, we had a big month in January. So we got some work to do, and we're just not going to be able to cover all of it. But we're about to come up on the biggest time of the year in NCAA swimming. And so for us not to at least cover a little bit of what happened in the dual meet scene back in January would be doing a disservice as we go into conference and NCAAs here. So, Des, were you keeping up with the results as we went through January, or what were you up to on that?
I was. I had a lot of meets myself actually for our club team, so priority goes to that. But I was trying to keep up with the results as much as I could. There's a lot of meets that go on throughout train trip and a little after train trip, obviously leading up to all the conference meets coming up. So a lot to cover.
Yeah, no, for sure. I don't know about you, but I mean, the way our cycle went, I think when we were swimming at Minnesota was, I mean, there's obviously a buildup towards midseason in the fall, but I think when you kind of come off that huge December and December block and then training trip or whatever that looks like for your team, I always found those first couple of meets that you'd have in January, you'd really start to see some of the results start to show up in some of those meets. You maybe get a couple of days rest going into a dual meet or slap a suit on or whatever, and really gets you primed. So I always found this month to be one of the, you know, that January, early February to be some of the most exciting swimming of the year and really get you primed for the old conference season.
I would agree. You start to feel a little nicey too. You put in all that work and, you know, it starts to get a little bit easier. You maybe trickle in a little bit of a rest, a little
maybe
more.
Maybe it was just Des and I, though. Des and I were two big legged boys who really soaked in the taper.
Oh, yeah.
And so it was, man, come early January, Des and I were really hurting for a good old taper.
Start bringing it down once it hits January 1st a little bit.
Yeah. Second, January 15th has, coach. Hit me with the hose today.
Coach, I'm cramping. Help me out.
Yeah, let's not talk about Dez's legs cramping. We don't need to get into that on the podcast. But let's get into it. I think we got, I don't know, nine or ten meets that we're just going to – some of the big hitters that we thought were important at least to get some coverage on and some notable swim storylines as we approach conference starting next week. We hit right into it with ACCs, SECs, and women's Big Tens next week.
Yep.
Anybody else that I'm missing? I mean, there's going to be some mid-major.
Mm-hmm.
But we're ready to go now. So we'll get our last chance takes in here before we start to see some of these postseason results start to come in. So what's the first meet that we're looking at here, Des?
We are looking at the Arizona versus ASU meet.
Little in-state rivalry.
Little in-state rivalry, which Arizona State has been the, you know, king of that rivalry for the past few years now. On the men's side, Arizona State came out 190-107. And then on the women's side, Arizona State came out in a little bit closer of a meet, 158-142. But there are some big swims there throughout. Anyone's that stuck out to you?
Yeah, I think there are a few things. You know, we could, you know, just keep beating the same drum about ASU and how they swim fast every single meet, blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm starting to think, you know, ASU relays, how many people are they going to get to NCAAs, that sort of thing. Conference is going to be a cakewalk for them. Same with Arizona. Really, their eyes are set on, you know, how many people can we get to NCAAs. And how many people can we score there? So that's a really, and so I think it's interesting when you start seeing, you know, I see Adam Chaney put down 20.4 in the 50 back again, getting back down to that, you know, 20 point low range that he has been. That's starting to look pretty darn good for those ASU relays. Now, we've had this discussion a little bit about ASU prior, but you know, they had that big transfer class of Chaney, Remy Fabiani, JT Ewing. These guys are new. This is their first year in the program. And it's, you know, I don't have any reason to believe this won't pan out for them come season end. But do you have any concerns, or what's your opinion on, you know, are these guys going to stay hot straight into conference? Are they going to get better? Or how do you see that play out for them? Because I think that's really the key for this ASU men's team of moving, you know, are they going to be top three or top five? You know, like that's having like three guys like that be lights out on relays and individuals. But this that's is their first year.
A lot of points. I think Chaney's the biggest question mark that you're going to look at. You know, you look at his training with Florida, and it's almost the exact opposite of what he's doing right now, right? Florida, they're going to kind of put you through it, not really going to get you rest or swim your best until conference time comes around, and then all of a sudden you're on it, right? So his body is probably not used to this, but, you know, there's nothing that tells me that Herbie doesn't know what he's doing, and he's not going to have these boys ready to go and ready for action once conference and once NCAAs shows up. So I think you have to trust Herbie at this point, and he knows exactly what he's going to do, what he's doing with this team here.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, especially with – I think they're in a really good – it works – the system they have works with their current conference situation because it'd be one thing if they really had to show up at like an SECs or Big Ten meet. They don't really have – they just have to make sure they get to NCAAs. And then really, if they're going to have one focus meet of the year, it's NCAAs. Like, they can basically swim through if people are in the meet at that point. And so I think that
– Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Really probably does play into their preparation and probably benefits them going into postseason here. But
I want to give another shout, actually. Duncan Henderson for Arizona. He's a freshman coming out of high school. Not the biggest recruit, but he has since been 45-0 in the 100 back, and he was 20.5 in the 50 back, running it up against Chaney there, which is very, very impressive for a freshman. Just want to give a shout out there, very much deserved.
He got on the wake and just rode Adam Chaney to victory on that 50 back. That's a legit swim, and I mean, really, realistically, even though the results don't show it, Arizona does as still, you know, putting together a great season. I think Hakan Naughton is someone I'm familiar with, just him being from Minnesota, but kid came out as let's be honest, he was a good recruit. And I think got down to Arizona, but the kid is just, he's improved year after year and has already been 44.8 best time in season already in the 100 fly and 140.7 in the 200 fly. So I think this that adds.
Go ahead.
I mean, that adds another scoring piece to, you know, Ralph DeLeaden and Thomas Lukminis, who have already shown up at the NCAA meet before.
This team has a chance to be top 15 for sure. I really do think that they, if they have a really good meet, I would not be surprised if I see this team sneak into the top 15. I think that they're going to be a top 25 team just based on individual scores. But can they put those relays together? I think that you're looking at a possible top 15 finish, which would be huge for Arizona. Plus, as we really haven't seen them be on the top of the world in a long time.
No. I mean, that's a very, they have a lot of, there's a storied history there. But it's definitely been a while. I mean, I think realistically, my biggest concern would be the breaststroke leg for them. I think they're covered. I mean, they have back, they have fly with Hawken, and they have got sprint free with Thomas and Ralph, but looks like two men relay, they had a 23.8, so there's something there. Tavner wisdom. So I mean that, but you're exactly right. I think that the difference between top 25 and top 15 really comes from relays. And so if they can, their freestyle relay should be there, but if they can get some medleys in the scoring range, that would be a game changer. So
On the women's side then, some other impressive swims. Obviously meet was a bit closer, like I mentioned. I'm going to botch this. Albane Kashat for ASU went 144.34, which is a second and a half drop. She was a midseason transfer from France. And then Eleni Gewalt from Arizona went 59.1, which is just off her personal best of 59.0. Probably the two bigger swims and bigger drops of the meet that kind of shines out to me and to you. Anything else you want to add?
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I mean, Albane from France. And it's interesting. I think one, ASU, notably Leon Marchand from France. I don't know if there's a little pipeline. I mean, obviously Leon didn't end up finishing or ended up staying. He did finish with ASU, didn't stay there after. But it's, you know, another one of these midseason transfers that we're going to multiple that we'll discuss tonight, but it's interesting when you start seeing, okay, 144.3 already mid-January. Is there more in the tank then? It's interesting when you see it's such a quick turnaround to arrive on campus in January and then try to pull together a quick, you know, conference and then NCAAs in a short course pool that you may have basically had no experience in before. So that's one, I mean, especially when you start seeing those one, I mean, it's typical for a midseason transfer from out of the country. You know, it's not uncommon to see that over a second drop in a 200, but is there a 141 in there somewhere that we're not seeing yet is the question. So, yeah, no, it'll be interesting. And ASU women they're just kind of wavering a little bit, but I think, you know, they'll need to show up at Big 12s this year, but what do they bring to the table, I guess, is the question. So
yeah, exactly.
NC State, UNC. Walk me through it, Des.
Yeah, NC State, UNC on the men's side, 179-108. NC State coming out with the win. And then on the women's side, 204-94. Running away with it there on the women's side and the men's side a little bit as well. Some very impressive swims. I mean, that women's team for NC State is just really solid. Year in and year out, NC State on the women's side specifically seems to put in a top eight finish every single year and sometimes be pushing for that top five. Names like Leah Shackley, Kennedy Noble, Erica Pallese, and Annalie Hefimova. obviously a very, very fast group. You know, one thing I mentioned, I mean, UNC women didn't even put up 100 points. And while their men have been looking a lot better, their women seem to kind of be going in a different direction. And hopefully they're able to pull them together and get that momentum going in the right direction for both the men's and women's teams.
Yo, I mean, I'm looking at most recent swim power poll. NC State Wolfpack coming at an 8, which was the same as their previous ranking. And, you know, I guess I get it. You got teams like Cal at 7 and Michigan at 6, Louisville at 5. To me, on paper, those, when I just look at these results, especially with those big hitters that they do have, I just don't see, I don't know. I mean, I could see them moving into the top five. Like you said, they're they're top 10 year in, year out. Where do you see them finishing out this year?
I mean, we'll talk about this more in the next couple episodes, but I do think that 5-8 range with Louisville, with
Michigan,
Cal, with Michigan, and with NC State is kind of open. I really think NC State and Cal are very interchangeable, and I don't know. Again, NC State, like, every single year, they are consistently top 8 anywhere within that range, right? Like, they're not going to be out of the top 8. I don't think that's in discussion. So it's like, how high up can they get? And it's just going to come down to who performs in NCAAs.
Yeah, right. I mean, you got Tennessee and Florida right behind them in the rankings too. And I mean, I look at it, we have the Tennessee meet with Georgia coming up later in the pod, but I mean, Tennessee's no slouch either. And so it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out. And it's, I mean, you could have these one way from top to bottom to the other basically, and probably have a decent rationale behind it, I would think.
I even think 3-10 is going to be really close. I think, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. On the men's side, another NC State looking good. And I think it's nice to see that they have some younger faces. You know, NC State is...
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Has had, over the last 5 years, I would say, a pretty darn good run recruiting-wise. It's coming out with some of the best recruiting classes with, you know, Aiden Hayes, the Quinton McCarty's of the world. Max Carlson, a freshman for them, has been on a tear. He was 415 and 842 in this meet, in the 500 and the 1,000. In the NC State UVA meet that we'll cover next, he was 841 and 411. So he's been down there already. And so that really does leave something on the table of, what does this kid have coming up next? And I think it's good with a storied NC State distance program too. I think that's another name to just slot in there. So realistically though, and I'd love to hear your take on this and some of the other names that we may or may not have seen this year, but you know, the Aiden Hayes, the Arsenio Bustos, the Kai Winklers, who's been hit and miss down the stretch in previous years. Where do you see some of those guys at right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're big question marks. Like, I they've been swimming well, but we don't know what we're going to get out of them yet. And I don't know if we're going to get that NC State squad where you're having relays that are going to be top three, or are going to get the NC State squad where, you know, and again, they always perform at NCAAs as well. I feel like year in and year out, I'm almost always thinking what's going to happen with NC State. And previous years in the ACC, you know, they would run away with that title on the men's side. So they maybe wouldn't have to come down as much as they would need to, but with Cal and Stanford in their conference now, I think that's going to change. Yeah. One name I also want to mention is Lance Norris on the distance side. He was 843 in the 1,000. Him and Max Carlson actually been going back and forth with that 1,000 record all year. They've just been, one's been getting it, the other one's been getting it, one's been getting it. And like you said, that NC State is historically, you know, very good in the distance program. And they're just reloading, and they're really, really good this year. And I think that if their distance kids can keep doing what they're doing, and you're going to be able to bring Aiden Hayes and Bustos and Kai Winkler and Daniel Deal and all those kids with you, and they're able to perform and they perform, they could be a very, very dangerous team come March.
For sure. I mean, and you got Aiden Hayes, who had a great summer. To be honest, though, I Aiden Hayes is definitely someone that I think they need, and I just currently, from what I've seen, I just don't. I don't think they're gonna have it from him this year.
Which Bustos is not
unfortunate, but yeah, same. I mean, Aiden Hayes, a 200 butterfly NCAA champion, and I mean, I don't know if seeing him swim in years past when he was winning titles like that. I mean, that kid is a straight, just like mojo, confidence. And like, I mean, if he's on, he's on. And like, I mean, the kid will just run through a wall to get a win. But, you know, I think we're all that way to a certain extent when things just haven't really fallen your ways and, you know, you're falling your way that season and you haven't really had that breakthrough swim. You know, it's in there somewhere, but it's sometimes hard to extract that when you need to, when you haven't quite seen it.
I have seen him post, and he has switched to backstroke a little more recently in the past 2 years. He came in primarily a flyer, but he's switched a little bit more to backstrokes, and he currently has the fastest 50 backstroke time ever. But he also hinted to Kyle Sockwell on his story of under 20 point in the 50 backstroke this past week.
I would forgive him. I would forgive him for a sub 20
point. He did sub 20. I'd be very impressed.
Well, he's got 20.00.
Oh, I think. Yeah.
So he's right then, there.
You know, we'll see about NC State. Again, a lot still in the air, and ACC's is going to be very telling for them. Going over to UNC side, Ben Del Mar has been just phenomenal. Just so consistent in the 100 and 200 breaststrokes, spitting out 51s, 52s. 153s, 151, like just super, super consistent. I'm really excited to see kind of
49.
How he pops off here at ACC's and NC's.
Yeah, well, he's someone that you got to watch, like just breaststrokes in general as you move forward in the next couple of years. I think he's had kind of a meteoric rise to the international stage. I mean, he was someone who was good last year, made it to NCAAs, but I don't think he was in an A final last year even. And so for him to really take a step forward long course this summer and then come back and then be under 150 in the two breaths, be, I don't know if he's been 50 point, but 51 low in the, in the 100. That one's interesting. We do have an interesting missing name though, from the UNC team this year, PJ Foy, the Alaska native, has been missing. And we don't need to, you know, presume what's going on there, but just on a plane level, what does that mean for the team?
And that's huge. When we talk about having big summers, he had a really, really good summer as well, where he was, you know, in the 22 range in the 50 freestyle. And he had an awesome short course year last year. He was a young swimmer. And I was really looking forward to see how he would do come short course season, right? And it seemed like he was on track to have a really big season. We just haven't seen him. You know, beginning of the year, I had UNC as a team, a sneaky team for me, to get into the 10 to 15 range. And, you know, without PJ, who knows, right? Yeah. He was a big piece of their relays.
Yeah, no, sprint fly, sprint free. He was their guy. So it'll be interesting to see what they kind of piece together for those medleys and sprint frees.
Yeah.
They have bodies, but people are going to need to step up to fill those shoes. So that's definitely concerning for them. I think we can move on here to UVA, NC State. And really, we wanted to throw this one in just to at least get a mention of UVA women for sure, and check in on kind of where the men are at sitting at this time with, you know, a lot of expectations coming into this year. NC State men, we already talked about that a little bit. Still good meet for them. They pulled out the win on the men's side. On the women's side, UVA won 181 to 113. And that one stood out to me. And I didn't really show you have an NC State team that we said could be as high as fifth, fourth range. They could be in that top five conversation. You got UVA putting a 70 spot, or basically a 70 spot gap on the NC State women, and that really showed me still UVA pulling together just a ridiculous roster. for this season.
They're just so deep right now. So deep. I was looking at their fastest swims, and they have 8 girls who have been 47 in the 100 freestyle. That's unheard of, right? Like, you're lucky as a college if you get 1 or 2 girls that can go 47. You're looking pretty good on relays. Just depth in general, they look better than I think they ever have. You know, top speed might not be there without the Walsh sisters and stuff, but they look pretty deep.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing I'm looking for is, are they going to perform conference and NCAAs? That double is challenging. And yeah. I think it's even more so for women's teams at times, especially with how you manage those tapers, or if tapering at all, basically, for a UVA team. There's still a lot of energy at the conference meet. And so how do you taper those emotions and really bring it in a team that's, let's be honest, a little bit less experienced than some of the UVA teams that we, saw, some of the swimmers that we saw leave over the last year or two who have been, you're kind of seeing the second guard this year, and how are they going to step in? And so I think that's a big question for me.
Yeah. Some big swims from the meet on both sides. Leah Shackley under 150.
Two back.
In the two back. Yep. Going back to the 100 breaststroke, Ennelly. I'm going to butcher this again.
Yefimova.
And the 100 breast, 58.1, which is just absolutely cooking. And I think one of the sleepers that we haven't seen a lot out of in the short course pool, Katie Grimes was right on some of her best times, at least best times of the season, 9.28 and 4.36 in the 500,000, which are really good. Yeah, just some fast swims
on both sides. Good. Yeah.
Yep.
It was, yeah, no, definitely. I mean, you just look in that, right? And yeah, someone like Katie Grimes, who would, honestly, has been under the radar on their NCAA team. You're looking at someone who's an Olympic medalist, and it's like, you're like, oh, Katie Grimes really coming to do her own.
What about her? Like, holy Jesus.
Exactly. So I just kind of that speaks to the situation that we're looking at on the UVA roster. And, I mean, I think they were unproven a little bit, and there's questions for this year, but they're certainly trending in the right direction. Now, the men's side, I think, is a different story, and there may be a few different factors playing into that. I look at Maximus Williamson and Thomas Heilman, who are really kind of holding down the fort alongside David King right now. The question is, you're looking at a team that has a lot of expectation. So you're going to need to start finding bodies who are going to make sure all those relays at NCAAs. Can you pull a couple of those freshmen that we talked about into NCAAs? Give me hope, Dez, or not.
Here's my thing. It's like, they're freshmen. You look at Thomas and you look at Maximus, and coming in, you knew they were going to be going to NCAAs just based on their times alone. Even if they didn't improve, they both have A finalist times in their respective events. The other freshmen that came in, they're top 10 recruits. Like, a lot of times you can't expect these freshmen to just perform right away. Will they perform right away? I don't know. I agree.
There's a lot of NCs or they're gone, does.
There are a lot of question marks behind Heilman, Williamson, King, and Spencer Nicholas, who's also been a stud for them. Outside of those four, like, what are you going to get? Is Jack Aikens going to show up, right? Looking on a relay, I think they went 116 at an invite a couple weeks ago in the 200 free relay. And, it was basically it was Aikens, it was Heilman, it was Williamson, and it was another freshman. And it's like, what are you going to get outside of those top four swimmers? Do you have enough depth to perform relay-wise? Because they can't all be on all relays.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yeah, well, I mean, even like, is the plan Maximus on the breaststroke legs? That's a hole that I see right away. I mean, they're
definitely,
but yeah, it'll be interesting to see this one, but I do have my concerns here now, especially kind of seeing as plays out. I think this year, at least, I think you see another year in the system. I think you see some more of those freshmen who we initially had discussed about start to pop through. But I think this year for me, chalk it up to a loss.
We'll see. I'm not going to chalk it up to a loss, but I do think that they're going to need a couple of years before they enter that, you know, top 10, top five, whatever conversation at NCAAs. You know, there's still a team that can be top 15 this year for sure.
Yeah, well, and you got to look towards the next recruiting class too. It's one thing to get, I mean, NC State had that happen before where they pulled, you know, five of the biggest names, one class. But if you don't follow that up year after year after year,
yep,
you can only do so much. It's at the end of the day, not everyone's going to work out, but how do you bring, you know, good bodies in the door every single year to start, you know, moving somewhere is the key, is the key. So that's a good one to keep, you know, the ACC's coming up. I think that's a good one to watch. This is one I'm looking forward to talking about, truthfully. Cal Stanford. Now we've had our gripes, we've had our, you know, it's a saga with the Cal men for me. It's just, you know, they're here, they're there, they're at amazing NCs, they're terrible at some of the season. You'd think at some point they'd want to beat Stanford, but no, they just want to keep losing to Stanford. I think they're on a 3 or 4 year losing streak to Stanford in the January meet. This year, losing 181 to 119. So they either don't care, or there's some concerning issues on the table for the Cal Mat.
If you're Dave Durden, are you just like, eh, whatever, see it NCs? Like, that's what it seems like.
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, there were some okay swims in there, but I was really looking, and I was like, is there a bright spot somewhere? To be honest, the one I found, Keaton Jones, who we, you know, was not known as a short course swimmer, was back down to 132 in the 2-3, which, okay, all right.
Your favorite fair enough, swimmer, Keaton Jones, yeah. Casey loves Keaton Jones.
You know how I feel about long course only backstrokers, Des. Don't get me started. But, I mean, you have people, you know, Eduardo Moraes, who is now back, who's on the team starting this as a midseason transfer from Brazil. He had a previous 3 years at Michigan where he was, I think, an A finalist before in the and you got to start getting some of these guys moving. Nathan Wiffen, he was okay, not as best as we've seen. He needs to be a top eight guy in the mile. You know, that sort of thing. Ryan Erisman, I think, will be there.
Okodome looks good.
They will be good, but I think you gotta give some of these kids a little bit of swagger for ACCs where there's, I mean, it's no Pac-12 anymore. It's not you just show up and let's get to NCs, boys. I think you got to prove yourself a little bit at ACCs, which...
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Dave doesn't care what anybody else thinks, but I think from just the, you know, that swimmer's perspective, you got to get a little swagger going.
Think if you're a sophomore in high school, you're, you know, a top 20 recruit, you're looking at all the schools. If you see Cal, and again, we've talked about this before, like they're not going fast. Cool, they're going to swim great NCAAs, I'm sure of it. But if you're not swimming fast, again, all year long, or you're just letting a team like Stanford just steamroll you, that's not going to be very positive looking from a recruit's perspective either. So, yeah. I know Dave obviously knows more than both of us combined, but definitely a little shaky.
Yeah, no, and I think it's worth mentioning as well that Stanford does look really good. I mean, they have Ethan Eck, freshman, sophomore, who has been basically lights out this year in the distance, 1,500. Mm-hmm. Zier Fan has really come around breaststroke-wise this year to be 51 mid to low. Okay, yeah, Zier Fan, I think, is a senior, junior this year as well. Mm-hmm. He's been 51 low. Daniel Lee has been 150.7 in this meet in the two breasts. So, I mean, I've been critical in the past of Stanford of not being able to show up when it counts, and I hope that's not the case for them coming in NCs, because really it feels like they're starting to put together for a school that gets elite recruits year in and year out. I would actually like to see them finally pull one of these together where they get everyone cooking at the same time, but maybe I'm a little too wishful.
Yeah. Switching over to the women's side here, a lot closer of a meet. Stanford comes out on top 154 to 145.
It's a tight one.
Really, really tight meet. Lucy Bell had herself a meet. She was 203 in the 200 breast and 57 in the 100 breast. She might be, and 152 in the 200 I am. She's going to be scaring that 200 breaststroke NCAA record this year. I really believe so. She's not going to get it. That's ridiculous. Claire Weinstein looks really good. 142.1. Tegan O'Dell, 151, 200 back. Cal's really banking off of their freshman, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And probably similar to UVA, where like their future looks really bright. We'll see what we get this year.
Mia West is a sophomore, I think.
Yep.
They're young for sure, and I think have kind of a lot of upside and question marks there, and so I will be interested. And for a team like Stanford, who I have to come back on that now, who I was saying, you know, Stanford, who knows, it's a toss-up between them and UVA early on. I don't think that's the case anymore, but that doesn't mean that there's a lack of talent there on that Stanford roster, and for them to push it, you know, within 11 points with Stanford is, I would think, a huge conference booster, which is what I would hope that the men would be pushing for. If I'm on the Cal women's team right now, I'm seeing that, oh, we're 11 points off of Stanford in a duel. Heck yeah, we can be a top 10 easily, you know, that sort of thing. And so, I wish it would have, you know, probably worked out well. Kind of. Gotta go.
I'll be right back.
All right, I'll hold it down here momentarily, folks. Let me just go on a little monologue. Moving on, Ohio State and Michigan, and there's, I think, you know, overall good swims here and there. I think there's a lot of names on both these rosters, women, men, Bella Sims of the world, Thomas Navakonis, Matthew Klinge, Jack Wilkin, and Colin Gear, Stephanie Balducini, Mila Nikonorov. I think there's a lot of names here. Really what I want to discuss here, though, is you're seeing an Ohio State Michigan team who, on the men's side, are really going to be the ones duking it out for the podium. And I would initially, I think as I look on this, my heart says Michigan probably is in sliding in that second spot. But Ohio State got the win here, 167-133. And now dual meet versus championship scoring is different.
Yeah.
But that's going to stay in the mind of those Michigan guys and could fire them up, could leave some questions on the table. But that's certainly something that they would have left in their mind coming out of this dual meet. On the women's side,
No, go ahead. You're good.
On the women's side, Ohio State 136, Michigan 162. And really had a Michigan women's team who had been ranked as high as number 2 on the SwimSwam rankings, had slid back to 4 now. I think you have a lot of questions. Well, not a lot of questions, but it really just kind of hangs in, can Bella Sims win a couple events this year?
Yeah, I think she's going to need to, or they're going to have to win that 800 free relay. That's looking really strong, right?
Yep. So
I don't know. I have a question for you. If you are Matt Bowe, head coach of Michigan, and you have a Michigan men's team that, again, like you said, is looking to get slotted into that second place spot, but you just lost to Ohio State, what are you telling your team in that scenario?
I think really what it boils down to, and we'll maybe get to this too with the old alma mater here shortly. But I think it really what it boils down to is you cannot be taking disrespect from your rivals and teams that, you know, Ohio State and Michigan have traditionally, I mean, they've gone back and forth. Both of these teams have won Big Ten titles in the last 5-10 years. And so you're a team that said, if I'm Matt Bowe, I'm sitting the boys down going into Big Ten's in here and say, you cannot. You're basically singling out an Ohio State team, which when it really boils down to those teams, you're in a heat with these Ohio State guys. You don't lose the race. You do not take disrespect from the boys down in Columbus. Everyone knows from football the rivalry that these two teams have. You got to bring some of that passion into the pool and will yourself past the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Amen.
I should have said that. That's a Michigan sympathizer. I would just say, realistically, I would just say, guys, we can't get past Ohio State. Lost them into the dual meet. It's just not going to happen this year. We'll try again next year.
No, I think you're right, though. Like, you have to get that passion going, and guess what? They got you in the dual meet. Go and give belt to ass at Big Tens, right? Like, you got to make a statement, and it starts with that 200 medley and the 800 free relay, and can they bounce back?
Yeah, no, I think – I personally think that Michigan will bounce back and slot into that second spot at Big Tens. I think on the women's side, it's interesting. At some point, you probably could have a conversation – I think you still can have the conversation. Indiana, Michigan are probably – the two on the top of the Big Ten. I mean, they are.
Yeah.
The question is, how will that battle shake out? I think something that always hangs in the pocket of IU, at least in the last couple of years, is diving, which Michigan, I don't know what their diving situation looks like on the women's side.
Not IU diving.
Yeah, but that will be an interesting, and when we look at the numbers a little bit more for the preview pod, I think that one will be an interesting one to look at, IU Michigan. For the win. So anything else on this, on these teams before we to move on to IU?
I do think that Michigan IU battle at we're gonna talk about IU here, but that battle at Big Tens is gonna be epic.
Yeah. No, for sure. And that, stay tuned for the preview pod will be coming shortly. Keep it on the docket. IU, Louisville. We got a big name coming in for the Louisville women's team the fall. And we mentioned it. We knew this one was coming, but Anastasia Gorbenko is truly living up to the hype and has been consistent and been consistently fast as heck these first couple meets. 57 already in the 100 breast, 206, which is solid in the 2 breast, and 406 in the 4 AM. I think as she swims even more short course here leading, and I mean, she's probably just going to go straight through to NC, is I seriously see her as a 2, maybe 3 event. If she puts it together, could be a 3 event winner at NC. Is you're matched on the women's side at IU with another star of the NCAA this year, Liberty Clark, who is basically put her in a pool right now. She's good for a 141, 46, 21. In the year free. So, I mean, it's just basically automatic. I think I just saw she has won 8 Big Ten Swimmers of the Week this year, which is a record by like a long shot or something. So they got her in their back pocket too. But
not to mention Alex Shackles still like just started with the team not terribly long ago and had a solid meet, but she obviously gets overshadowed by Liberty Clark. But come NCAAs and Big Tens, like that IU team is looking really good.
Yeah, and I think we even talked about this a little bit before, but the Louisville relays could be really, really solid this year. I mean, they've been in the top 8 in the sprint free relays in these previous years, but I mean, they could be really, 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 really solid. I think here, Louisville A 2-med relay, 24.3, 25.9 from Gorbenko, 22.4 from Ella Welch, and 20.8 from Julia Dennis. So, I mean, that's 133 already, which is, I mean, that's all the pieces you need right there.
And Louisville's not a team, like, I knew coming into this year they were probably going to be a top 12, top 10 team. I did not think they were going to be this good. They have really, really stepped up in recruiting and the development of their young swimmers, and they look really good right now.
No, I think, I think you hit it on the nose there. I mean, they had Julia Dennis go 45.6 on their 4-3 relay. So you get some of those other, I mean, 48s, 47s across there. You get down to 46, 47s there. They're right there in the conversation for it with some of the big hitters. So,
yep.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right on that take there. But men's side, IU men really look like they're going to do it again here, to be honest. They're just on another, they're just too deep for, I think, any other team in the Big Ten right now. You got stars on Michigan, Ohio State still, but just top to bottom right now. I mean, it's really darn hard to make a Big Ten team right now if you're on the IU team. And I think the perfect example of that is Raekwon Noel on IU. I don't even know if he's a junior this year. I don't think he's made their Big Ten scoring roster. This kid this year has already been under 45 in the 100 fly and 140 in the 2 free. And I mean, he's been on a tear. I'll hear you give your take on this while I find some of these other times here. But I mean, and you have Miroslav Nedla going breaking under 45 in the 100 back.
You mentioned their depth, and you have a swimmer like Owen McDonald, who, like, if you look at the swim club performances, wasn't even a top seven swim. Like, arguably their best swimmer is someone that we're not even probably really going to talk about his swims at this meet, right? They are just top to bottom, just so deep in every single event, too. Like, you think of IU, you think they're going to be deep in breaststroke. They are deep in every single event this year. I don't see many holes. And I just think they're going to be solid and have A, B point scores in almost every single event.
Yeah, and then you got diving on the back end. But I misspoke. Raekwon, he's been 44.900 back, 40.6 in the two back, 45.2 in the two fly, and 45.2 in the one fly, and 141.1 in the two fly. I mean, that's someone who's never made their Big Ten team. That's a pretty good piece to hold in the back pocket.
Yeah, no shit.
Definitely just, I don't see a way that they don't kind of just walk through Big Tens and see what they can do at NCs. On the Louisville men's side, there's a lot of surprising names on there. A couple of people that I feel like, you know, they had sophomore Jake Eccleson make it in the two breasts last year to NCs. He's been kind of here and there. I would be looking to him to kind of step up. Greg Enoch is another sophomore who was one of the top recruits out of last year's class or 2 years ago's class, who has been just people that, you know, I think they're putting together good, their relays are going to be solid, but how do you put in a few more qualifiers is my question to start moving into that, you know, top 15. I think they'll be top 15, but top closer to top 10. I think top 10 is being in the top 10 is too hard to ask, but how do you kind of move, if you're a coach sitting there right now, how do you kind of move some of these guys along, try to make that push to be like, okay, how do we get the biggest NCAA team that we can get?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to come down to depth in those breaststrokers looking at it. Like, they have a lot of dudes right now that are going 52 lows and 153s.
Those are bubble swims at this point, probably for this year.
Yeah. Can they get those four breaststrokers down to, you know, the 150-51 range and qualify them again? And I think that's going to get you a lot of points. Outside of Zalan, I don't know how many guys they have that are going to be in that winning range, which I think is going to come down to where they don't get their points and don't get top three. Mm-hmm. On the men's side, is I don't know how many event winners they have, and I don't know how many relay top three, top five they have either.
Yep.
Like, they have that depth, but I don't know if that top talent, top speed is there. Owen McDonald's going to be top five in probably all of his events, but I don't think he's going to be winning the 100 back, 200 back, 200 IM.
Yeah. No, yeah, that's important. I mean, and, you know, like the breaststroke, their depth is ridiculous, but Ken and Alexei Avakov drop down and go 50.5.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I have been a 100 breast and put them into a final in the individual and a fighting for a top three in the relay. So
yeah,
those are the drops that they need, and they have. I mean, yeah, they have the perfect roster to just absolutely wipe the conference meet. But when it really comes down to making a finals and having scoring swims at NCs, I think is where they really need to focus their efforts this year, because I don't think they need to be too concerned about probably wrapping up that Big Ten meet. So
I agree.
Yeah. All right, let's cover up or wrap up with a couple more meets here. Minnesota, Northwestern, Purdue, tri-meet, tried and true. Northwestern men are really having a great year. Josh Staples, I think, is one name that I want to mention for the Northwestern guys, who has had a shaky freshman campaign, and this year has just totally come into his own. I'll call him basically a quad threat. He's been 51 in the 100 breast. He's like 412 in the 5 free. He's like 340 in the 4IM. And can put down 100 free split on their relay. So he is their jack of all trades now. After, I remember, you didn't know what you were going to get from him in the pool last year.
No.
And now he just can't miss, basically. He's so just
so consistent for them. Stuart Seymour is an absolute dog for them right now. He's been spitting out 4,500 backstrokes like it's his job. 4,500 flies like it's his second job. So their relays look awesome. You know, like you mentioned, the breaststroke was kind of a piece there. It was kind of the big question mark going into this year. And now that they have a 4,400 backstroker, a 5,100 breaststroker, and then a 45 and 41 coming home, like that's a really, really solid 400 medley relay. It makes for a really good 200 medley relay. And they have the sprinters to make up the sprint relays as well. Yep. Northwestern's looking really, really good come Big Tens.
Yeah, no, the younger brother and a little bit less known Ollie Koch, younger brother of Hubert Koch, has actually come into his own pretty well this year and is on, you know, some of their relays, putting down solid splits. So I would see their relays, they're coming through. Purdue looks solid in the pool. I think diving really pulled them through and actually ended up with them beating Minnesota, which, to be honest, was kind of a knife to the heart, and one of those ones, like I said earlier, with Michigan, Ohio State, that rivalry, it's just a matter of at what point do you say that, you know, the buck stops here and say, you know, you gotta make sure that we own some of these teams year in, year out in January. And it can be tough sometimes. And I think we got caught up a little off guard where we kind of walked through and, you know, really dominated this meet over the last couple of years. And I think at the end of the day, you got to take it as a reality check and a check in of, hey, we still got the biggest meets yet to come. But we got to understand that we're not just going to get by Purdue or Northwestern as easy as we might have in previous years. So
exactly. And, you know, I think that we obviously swam in those meets. And while it looks like we may have walked over them, I remember there was a lot of fight in our team at the time to win those meets, right? Like, we came into that pool fired up, knowing that we had to make a statement before Big Tens. Don't quite see that statement from Minnesota this year. Hopefully they can turn around before Big Tens. Right now, Purdue and Northwestern have their names.
Yeah, no, they do. They got us pretty good in that one, so that didn't feel good.
On the women's side, however, Minnesota women are looking really, really good right now. I would say arguably the best they've looked since, you know, my freshman year even. They look really solid top to bottom. Dominated on the women's side, both Northwestern and Purdue. So that's definitely a positive, exciting moving forward. Katie McCarthy looks on it. She was 412 in the 4IM, 940 in the 1000. And they just look pretty, pretty deep.
Yeah, they do. And I think even their sprint free relays are looking like they're hopefully going to be solid. I mean, it's always a question of whether it comes together and everyone's, you know, shows up there, but it's always, you know, when they have those pieces of, you know, 22 lows, 21 highs, you know, you're going to be in a pretty good spot on relays. And that's really the anchor of these conference meets, where, you know, really rallies the team together when you have relays that are just kind of firing on all cylinders. I mean, we've seen it both sides where, you know, that first night doesn't go well and the team almost kind of falls flat right away. Whereas you have a lights out first night, you can really start building some steam. So that's what I would be looking for the women, that first night in the 8 free relay, 2 med relay, just to really, you know, put up a performance, you know, top five right off the bat, get close to a qualifying time, that would be, I think they can be probably a little bit closer in the 8-3 than the 2-med. I think there might be a few gaps in that medley relay for them still, but have one really good relay that first night and try to build some steam into the rest of the meet.
I would agree. Their 200 freestyles are pretty good right now too.
Let's just, wrap this up, I think, with one more meet here. UGA versus Tennessee.
Big meet.
Walk me through this one, Hunt.
I watched a little bit of this meet live, specifically on the men's side. I think the women's side was kind of dominating top to bottom for Tennessee. They won 187 to 110. Tennessee women are looking really good this year. Georgia women look all right. On the men's side, though, was kind of the meet that I was looking forward to. Georgia pulled out 155 to 142. Really close meet, but Georgia men look really, really good. In the past years, we would have, you have Luca, you might get some other really solid swimmers, but they didn't quite have the depth to pull out relays. And this year, this Georgia team looks top to bottom, the best Georgia men's team since we've been in college. They have the top speed to compete for relays. They have the depth to compete after that. I still remember like when Matthew Sates was there, like we're like, oh, this team's really good, but they couldn't have a breaststroker to save their lives on that team. Now they have breaststroker, they have a really good flyer, they have roar and back. Like they are top to bottom. I think the best Georgia team I've seen. And Tennessee looks right back on it, man.
Yeah.
Tennessee looks really good.
They've really started to come around, I would say, now this second semester. There were some, as we saw them in like the dual meet tournament back in November, I think they were looking solid. Maybe we had some questions about some of those, but, Ulysses Saravia now has been under 45 and 100 back. They're right back where they need to be there. Kobe Bujak Upton has continued to look good in the, mid-distance freestyle range. They obviously have Guy Carib, who's going to be there no matter what. Yeah. I think it's awesome to see some of these other guys be like, oh, these are going to be scorers now. I mean, if you're going under 45 and 100 back, you're right there in the question for an A final at NCAAs, let alone SEC. So
yeah.
I think really good to see for that roster going. They're really, I think, coming to their own at the right time.
I would agree. And again, they have all the pieces they need for good freestyle relays. And their biggest question mark is going to be the breaststroke on their medley relays. Who's going to fill into that spot? You're probably looking at Gabe Nunziata, the freshman, who coming in was a pretty big recruit out of Virginia, but you're going to have to look at him to step into those roles. He's been 52 this year already, just to fill in that spot in that relay, which is kind of their one glaring red flag for me right now.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And so I think you get that piece filled in though, and that's looking like a pretty good team. So
yeah.
Not one that I actually expected. And so that's one definitely worth keeping an eye on as you move in towards postseason time. So with that, I think that's really what we had of the big hitters. I think we had a Texas and or University of Texas versus A&M meet that we had to potentially talk about, but I think really the discussion of Texas really should just be for the conference preview,
yeah,
where that's where their money's at this point. I think, this team is probably in a similar spot as IU, where they're going to dominate SECs and then go from there at the NCAA stage. So I think we save that discussion for there and leave A&M to be sad as their best swimmers went over to Texas. So we can cover two birds with one stone. All the A&M exactly. Swimmers are now on Texas. So there's just one, it's just one preview.
That's all you need to know.
I think we put a wrap on this one. Daz, any final takes that you want to give before we put the kibosh?
You got any DFLs?
DFLs. Yeah. That's a good one. Actually, I think, as we've seen in this, we didn't cover it much, but as this time of year, we start to see some, as they're called, first chance meets for some of these schools. And unfortunately, these have to be my DFL of the month and just in general. I just don't think there's a place for these meets. I don't really see the reason for them, to be honest. And it's like, just call it quits on the duel, and then at the end of the duel meet season, and then go from there.
Here's where I'm going to disagree with you a little bit here. Not all teams can afford to bring their whole roster to their conference meet. There are also some teams that maybe don't bring a swimmer to their conference meet, but might bring them to NCAAs. We've seen that with Virginia, with Texas, with some of the big, big teams. So what do those swimmers do? They just not have a swimmer team or what?
No, yeah, that's. I mean, I guess that's probably the one caveat to the take. But what I would say is, I guess in those situations, yes. But I still even look at, even in the Big Ten's roster now, and or the Big Ten atmosphere, there is 75%, two thirds of the teams that are still bringing their entire rosters to Big Ten's and just having them exhibition, and that's when I'm like, if you're bringing your whole roster to the meet, where does the rationale for the first chance lie? I think, I mean, at that point, just lock the team in and just move forward with the preparation you've done. And sure, you can suit up and do, but there's almost a lot of preparation. I think you see it on the backside of conference too, with the last chance meet, but it's just, I mean, sometimes it's like, do we really need this additionally? And that's,
I would agree with that.
You lose me.
I would agree with that point. You know, there are some teams that I think it could be very beneficial for. Sometimes you're trying to figure out who that last spot's going to. Sometimes you want to see how your swimmers are performing. Maybe you'll bring them to NCAA. Like, there are some teams that have first chance swimmers that are NCAA qualifiers.
For sure.
Maybe you bring them for relays. Maybe you bring them for something else. They just don't quite have the speed maybe to place at conference with what you want. And then you also have teams like Cal and Stanford who maybe didn't do a first chance meet, but they're traveling from California to Atlanta, Georgia. It's pretty far away to travel. It's very expensive. What's the point of bringing summers if you can just swim them and taper them there?
No, you're right. It's disruptive to the travel, and when your mind's set on NCAA, just get the boys ready for it. But I gotta stick with my take. Get rid of first chance.
I get you. My DFL is probably going to be the new NCAA qualifications. You know, we've talked about it in the past, but as we get closer to conference, we're going to see a lot of fast swimmers that are left home. And I think I understand we want to be inclusive of some of those mid majors, and that's really exciting. But we're going to see some of the fastest swimmers in the nation that are left home. And that's going to be kind of upsetting to see.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, you could also make the argument to play devil's advocate here. Some of those people just sneaking in the 28th, 29th spot, are they going to score anyway? factoring into the meet? At that point, why not just bring mid-major people? Because if you're not scoring, if you're coming in 30th in the qualification number, why bring them, Dez? Tell me.
I think that if you're 30th and you're a 140 point 100, 200 backstroker, and it takes a 139.5 to score, you have a lot better chance of going to 139.5 than a 142 does.
You're right.
Wrong. You know, you never know. That's the thing, is I think you give the top 30 best swimmers in the nation a chance to score, and that's where it should be. Yep. Right? You make it awesome. When you start getting rid of some of those swimmers, you're not giving those kids chances to score. Those kids are going for a pity invite, and it's upsetting.
Oh, no.
That was maybe a little mean.
I'm just getting fired up now. Yeah, we're about trying to end the pod. But, yeah, no, that's fair. And I get the frustrations with this change. And even the people behind this move aren't – you're taking a risk with introducing it, and you're never going to really see how it plays out. I think we talked off air, but some of those distance events where I think it can be really glaring, and even the mile, for example, where some of those mid majors definitely are lacking a little bit more. That's where you might see some stinker, or No offense, but some slower times make it into the meat. So, that's a fair enough take, and is definitely front of mind as we move into this time of the year. So, I think with that, we call it a wrap for today, and we will catch you again soon for a conference preview.
Well, conference previews coming out.
Any wise words from Dez as we close out here?
I got nothing, man. Enjoy life. Live life to the fullest, brother. Love to hear it.
Yeah, enjoy life. Have a good practice tomorrow, Dez. All right?
Thank you. I will.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, and we will catch you in the next one.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.